Well, good morning. I'm glad to see all of you here today. We've got a good crowd here today. Good to see all of you. Glad you are here. I want to mention a couple of things, one thing real specific right now. The Chestnuts are not here this morning. And Nadine went in for some tests the other day, and I have not heard any results. So that may be the reason that they're not here. So we may need to keep Terry and Nadine in our prayers as well. And don't forget Miss Lowe, or Rowe, don't forget Miss Rowe because she's in the hospital right now. So we need to remember her in our prayers as well. I want to talk to you about something this morning that is part of salvation. You know, we focus our attention a lot on baptism, and which we should. And the reason why we focus our attention a lot on baptism is because so many other churches out there in the world today say you don't have to be baptized. Well, folks, you do have to be baptized. It is a requirement for salvation. Without being baptized, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Period. It is a requirement. 1 Peter 3:21, I'll get it right here in a second. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that baptism now saves us. So we must realize that baptism is an essential part of salvation. But one thing I want you to understand is that it's not the only part of salvation. There's more to it. If it was only one verse, and I brought this up this morning in our 101 class, if there was only one verse that we needed to be saved, then why is it that we have all these other verses? Why is it we have the whole Bible? Because the whole Bible relates to us today. The whole Bible is what we follow today. Every word of it. And Jesus says to us that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Does he not say that? So folks, if you love Jesus Christ, you're going to obey all of it, not just part of it. You're going to take place with all of it. And too many times we have people that just want to do a part, but not do all of it. I even heard one person one time say, you know, when I get baptized, I'm going to give this up and I'm going to give this up, but this right here, I'm not going to give up. Really? Why is that? And he says, I just like it too much. Folks, you can't do that. You can't pick and choose what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. It's all a part of it. And one of the things that you got to realize, too, that in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan tempts Jesus, the second temptation that's listed there, Satan quotes Scripture. Don't think he doesn't, because he does. He very specifically quotes Scripture about if Jesus stumbled, if he fell, then the angels would come and lift him up. And so he's telling Jesus, go ahead and jump off this temple. Go ahead and jump off this pinnacle, because God's going to save you. But remember Jesus' response. He says, but it also says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, how was it that Jesus overcame Satan? He overcame Satan by the Word. Somebody said Scripture. That's exactly correct. He overcame Satan by the Word. But it wasn't part of the Word. It was all of the Word. Does that make sense to you? There are so many people out there that just want to take a part, but they leave out the rest. And I've even had people, and I've told you all this before, but I've even had people tell me that their church, their congregation, doesn't even cover the book of James, because it goes against what they're teaching, that even the demons believe. It goes against that. It goes against their teaching that all you have to do is believe and you will be saved. Folks, that is a requirement. And I will be the first one to tell you that yes, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God before you can obtain salvation. Yes, you have to do that. You have to do that. But it's not the only thing. And so one of the things I want to look at today is dealing in repentance. Now remember in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, what does it say? It says that they were pricked in their heart. In other words, they were scared to death after Peter told them that the one that they had crucified was indeed the Son of God. They were scared to death. They were pricked in their heart. And they responded to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And remember Peter's first words. He said to them, "Repent. Repent." Now, I also want you to understand something as well. Repentance is something that we don't do just one time and we forget about it. Repentance for me, personally, I was told the other day, I tell on myself a lot. Well, guess what? I'm telling on myself again. Repentance for me, personally, is a daily occurrence. It's something daily. Now that doesn't mean I go out in the world and I try to sin or I try to do something wrong all the time. I don't do that. But what it does mean is this. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and done what? Fallen short. How many times in a day do you fall short? Often. Often. We went down to our lake house. We got a little lake house that we've had for about 28 years down at Lake Washita, 22 years. Kathy, get me straight. Down at Lake Washita. And I take my dogs down there. And so Thursday night, I took my dogs down to Lake Washita, and they love Lake Washita. We got about a little more than 7 acres out there. It's all wooded. It's national forest. And I let the dogs run free. And they love it. They absolutely love it. But I want you to know Thursday night I fell short. Because Thursday night the dogs were keeping me up. Because they were barking and they wanted in and they wanted out. They wanted in and they wanted out. And so about the fourth time that I got up out of bed to let them in, I fell short. Folks, it happens. It happens. We all fall short of God's glory. And I use that as an example of what sin is. Sin is falling short of God's glory. And after you are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, a lot of times you do as I did. You come up out of that water and you believe that I will never sin again. Isn't that right? I will never sin again. But the problem is, yes, you will. And so there is a constant asking for forgiveness. In every prayer that I give, I ask God to forgive me for my sins. Both those that I remember and those that I may not remember. The day is long. And sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We all fall short during the day. And so therefore we must ask for forgiveness because we need to repent of those things. Now I want to start out and look at this. The requirements for baptism in Acts chapter 8 verse 37 says this, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Now this is Philip talking to the eunuch. Now the eunuch then responded and said these words, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Is belief necessary for salvation? Yes. And I can tell you this because I've had this question asked to me many, many times. They said, "What is the unpardonable sin?" The unpardonable sin is denying the existence of Jesus Christ, the God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. That is the unpardonable sin. If you go to your grave and you do not believe in God, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if you do not believe in the Holy Spirit, then guess what? There is no hope for you. Okay? Belief is a requirement for baptism. That's one of the things that I ask you very plainly when you come up here to be baptized. I ask you the very same question that Philip asked the eunuch. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God? And if you do not answer yes in the affirmative, then you're not ready to be baptized. Okay? That's belief and that's confession. If you do not answer yes in the affirmative, then you are not ready to be baptized. You need to go back. You need to study some more. You need to learn some more. But I also want you to see this requirement in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Remember, Peter said to them, first words is repent. Repent. Now realize when we are baptized, we are born again. Our old person died, that old person was buried, and then it was resurrected in the same likeness as Jesus Christ to walk in the newness of life. We are new creatures. We are not the same person. If you go to get baptized and you're baptized and you come up out of that water and you go out and you do the same things that you've done in the past, then folks, all you did was get wet. My son, when he was a little bitty guy, he came up to us one day and he wanted to take the Lord's Supper. And we told him, well, after you're baptized, you know, you can do that. And he said, I've been baptized. I said, well, when were you baptized? And he said, well, don't you remember when I fell in the pool? And Mom, Kathy, his mother, who's a certified lifeguard, had to jump in and save him. Said, don't you remember when I fell in the pool? So he said, I was baptized. I said, no. I said, you just got wet. And folks, there are people that got wet. And something that was brought up this morning in our 101 class is this. You know, I can baptize you, but I don't add you to the church. Who adds you? God adds you. Okay? God adds you to the church. And so with that in mind, realize this. One of the requirements for baptism is to turn away from your old self to a new self. I'm not the same person I once was. I'm a different person now. I'm one that is filled with the Holy Spirit. One that is guided by the Son of God the Father. We know this. We cannot be that same person. Because if you come up out of that water and you're the same person, all you did was jump in the pool. That's all you did. And therefore, God does not add you because you have not yet obtained that repentance. You have not yet turned your life around. You're still doing what you once was. So it's important that we repent. Now, without repentance, notice this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Without repentance, what you have done is you have severed yourself from Christ and you have fallen from grace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. In Galatians chapter 5, what's happening there is there's a lot of Judaizing teachers saying, yes, you can become a Christian as a Gentile, but you have to follow all the Jews' laws. You have to be circumcised. You have to do all these things that all the Jews had to do. No. Because what you've done is you've gone back to your old ways. If you go back to your old ways, then you have, as it says there in Galatians 5, 4, you have fallen from grace. You don't go back. Why? Because I'm not the same person. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? What does it say in verse 2? God forbid, I'm not that same person anymore. I'm a new person, a new creature, one who follows God, one who follows the example of Jesus Christ. This is what we are, new creatures. Now, I want to look at something very specific today. I have five things that I have chosen out of the Scripture that sets us up for true repentance. There are people who have said, I repented. Did you? Let's find out exactly what true repentance is. Okay? First thing with true repentance is this. We must realize that we have sinned. Most of us in here would say, yes, I sin. Yes, I fall short. But I want you to know, I talked to a person one time back several years ago, and he told me point blank, he says, I don't sin anymore. I said, yeah, I bet you do. There's no doubt in my mind that we fall short. There's no doubt in my mind that I fell short Thursday night about the fourth time that I had to get up. I'm telling you right now, folks, that we fall short. And the Old Testament law teaches us what sin is, that we fall short of these things. Do you fall short? Daily. And so the first thing that we must do is realize that we fall short. We sin. The second thing we must do, which is like it, is this. We must realize that we are lost in our sins. Y'all realize that you're lost in sin if you do not repent? Do you realize you're lost in sin if you do not come to baptism? Do you realize that you're lost in your sins if you have not put on Jesus Christ? Folks, the bottom line with this whole thing is right here about being lost in our sins is this. That you are either in one or two, or one of two, as I must say it correctly, you are in one of two states in your life. You are either saved or you are lost. You are either under the law of grace and forgiveness, or you are under the law of sin and death. If we have not put on grace and forgiveness, then folks, we're still under the law of sin and death. I had people argue with me about that one time. I said, now wait a minute. If you're not forgiven of your sins, then you're condemned by them. And that's what the old law did, was condemn you of your sin. It could not save you. It could only condemn. And so therefore, as we're looking at this, you must realize, number one, that you have sin to be forgiven of. And then number two, you must realize that if I go to my grave and my sins are not forgiven, then I am lost. I am lost. So how important is it to be forgiven of our sins? Now this is where repentance comes in. To seek genuine change is what repentance is all about. 1 Peter 3:11 says this, we must turn away from evil. Seek genuine change. There are people out there that come to worship service every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There are people out there in this world that check off all the right boxes. but they've never sought genuine change. They've never sought to do differently. They've never sought to improve their walk with God. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you up front right now that you need to be seeking to improve your walk with God each and every single day. To seek genuine change. To change the way I once was and to go back or go to the way that God would like me to be. That's genuine change. We must seek out that genuine change if we are to repent. That is something we must do. Because by seeking genuine change is I'm not the same person I once was. I'm different. I'm different. Look at this one, number four. We must confess that we have sins to be forgiven of. We can confess our sins one to another. Like I told you a minute ago, a lot of times I tell too much on myself. It's okay. I'm not worried about that. But wouldn't it be nice to have somebody that you could go and talk to and say to that person, you know, I've got something I need you to pray with me about. You bet. You bet. A Christian spouse is wonderful for that. And there's a lot of people out there that don't have that. A Christian brother or sister, physical brother or sister, or a Christian brother and sister in the spirit. We can help one another. But notice what it says there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It tells us something very important that we do. Confess our sins to who? God the Father. Confess our sins to God. Like I told you, every time I say a prayer, I always ask for God to forgive me. And if I remember a sin specifically that I did that day, I ask for forgiveness for that sin. Specifically. But like I said, sometimes the days are long and sometimes things happen and I don't remember. So I always ask too for God to forgive me of the sins that I don't remember as well. And I know that Jesus' blood cleanses me of every sin that I've got. And regardless of your situation, regardless of whether or not you have been baptized, regardless if you lived for a long time as a Christian brother or sister should live, but you've fallen away, guess what? You can come back. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is my key verse for that. Because if you've fallen away, folks, I want you back. God wants you back. Amen. And he says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you been faithful in the past but fallen away? Come back. Be like the prodigal son who came to his senses. Come back. We must confess that we have sins to be forgiven of. And then lastly, here it is. Make that appeal to God. Remember, this is something that we do daily. Appeal to God daily when you fall short. Seek His righteousness. Seek His forgiveness. Because repentance is indeed part of the plan of salvation. If you are still doing the things that you were doing before, you have not repented. One of my best examples that I give you is an example of Job in the Bible. Remember Job? What did it say he did dealing with evil? One word? He shunned evil. In other words, he pushed it away. He would not have anything to do with it. He would not be part of that anymore. If there's something in your life that you need to repent of, then guess what you need to do? You need to shun it. You need to push it away. To not be part anymore. This is the key. This is the key to repentance. When I repent of my sins, here's the key. Don't take part in that anymore. And there are people that I've had to shun, to turn away from, because my being with them is not conducive to me being a good Christian. Because what they do instead is they bring me down. We've talked about this a couple of times, but remember when Jesus sent out his disciples, 70, he sent them out how? In twos. We build each other up. Go out in twos. Build each other up. Help each other along the way. And one advantage that I have over many of y'all is that I have the opportunity to work with great Christians in my office. And we have conversations daily about different things. Matter of fact, I was on the phone with them. I was in the office with them this week about a question that came up last week. Realize that the people that you're around can help you or they can hinder you. Seek those that can help. Appeal to God, asking for His forgiveness. And I want to leave you this morning with this verse. 2 Peter 3:9. This is a verse that's very important for all of us to see. Because remember what God's plan is for each one of us. His plan is that none of us should perish. He wants every one of us to be in heaven with Him. Amen. Remember, all of us are called, but few answer. All of us are called to be His children. But few answer. So the response right here in 2 Peter 3:9 is this. God is not willing for any of us to perish. But He calls for all of us to come to repentance. Folks, realize that there is more than one verse in the Bible that we need to follow. Realize that Jesus told His apostles as He went up to heaven, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Not just one, but all. Matthew 28:20. All things. So therefore, as we look at this and understand, yes, belief is essential. Yes, confession is essential. Yes, baptism is essential. But folks, repentance is also essential. Amen. Take the whole word, not part of it, and apply the whole word to your life. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, we want to give you the opportunity to come. But we also want you to know that each word in the Bible is important for your life. Follow it. Repent. All of us. Daily. And seek to walk with God. If you have a need, come. All together we stand and sing.